Jesus said to them, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Good morning. Of course, Jesus did not say that in his gospel. Jesus said, instead, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think, based upon the full context of Luke's gospel, from which we heard the context of the message today, I think it's a little more accurate to switch it around to say, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." So today it's a conversation about a card game, having a prepared heart. What do you want, and why do you want it? Now, the first thing to note is that the unmotivated are immune to insight. If you don't care, you're not likely to learn anything. So when we say, "Church of the Holy Spirit, our doors are always open," as our sort of motto, and I'll take the blame for it, and if there's a theft in the church, because quite reasonably our doors are almost always open anyway, no one locks, and if people are here all the time, sure. But the door is one thing, your heart is another. So, but if we say our doors are always open, I think it means that we are open generally and open to something new or something different, or maybe some truth spoken to us in a way we have not yet heard, but because we are open, we can receive it. And the closing of our hearts and our minds is the greatest flaw, and Jesus would speak to us today. Because he knows who we are, he knows how distracted we are, and he knows how close we can become. What do you want, and why do you want it? In Matthew's Gospel, which we're going to hear beginning coming up in December, we hear a whole year of Jesus understanding and learning what it means to be Messiah. First, that he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he suddenly learns in conversations with strong Gentile women, "Oh no, this mission is to the universe, to the whole created order." Is some inkling of that it becomes fully, so that by the end of Matthew's Gospel, we hear the Great Commission: "Go therefore into all nations, not just the land of promise, but to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And what? As Jesus commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Luke's Gospel builds clearly upon this idea of going to all nations, so that we have a whole second volume Luke provides us in the book of Acts of the Apostles, where Paul literally goes around the Empire of Rome, all over the place, spreading the good news to Jew and Gentile alike, slave and free. And we know from the early church, the first couple of centuries, our Theology on Tap group has been looking at several books about the early church and what it meant. And fairly clearly, the only reason we're here today was because those faithful souls in their generation spent the time with slaves and the dispossessed. And that was the church. And eventually, that understanding of a larger understanding of freedom in God and a larger understanding of love in your neighbor as yourself extended so profoundly to the least, not the highest in society, but the lowest, eventually converted the world to a point. To a point. Martin Luther King Jr. said famously, "The law can't make a man love me, but the law can keep that man from lynching me." True enough, maybe. Most of the time. But I'd like to say we Christians need to extend that image, that our job is to help each other love. The law only goes so far. You know my opinion about all things political and social and the controversies of our day, which there are so many. In the end, it's those people answering that question, what do you want and why do you want it, that will somehow bring about for all of us something more like the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The early church could have made a mistake like the Hebrews did, which is thinking that the promise of God was restricted to their group, their tribe, so that when the Messiah did come, he was only to kick out the Romans and decree a land in the Holy Land, the Prince of Old. So they thought the Messiah was going to be a military ruler, not one coming on the foal of an ass in weakness to be hung up on a cross. The early church could have decided that it would come through and we would take over the state, and then everything would be great. But, of course, in some way, the cultural captivity of the church began when Constantine made his edict that all will be Christian. Trying to take over the state, take over the culture, seems to be a downfall rather than the hope of one. So what if it would be necessary that the law of love would become and rule richly in our hearts? But we have constantly, since the very beginning, Jesus knows our hearts are divided, caring for ourselves and our own needs instead of those for and opposed to those of others. Our own country, supposedly founded on Christian virtues, in pluribus unum, out of many one, is in fact a brilliant inspiration from the Gospels. The story of Jesus saying to everyone else, give, sell all you have so that we all may be together and all grow. But our hearts are not quite there, surely fixed. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave above my own. And here we have the divided heart that always is seeking its own, not the other, the common good. How do we get to that place? So it always is, why and what do you want? Who told you to want it? That is the question for the open heart. If you've already answered the question, then you are immune to insight. But I invite you to ask the whole question. Why do you want what you want? And who taught you that? Right? Somehow, what happens is you compare yourself to somebody else. Oh, they have it. That looks good. I want it. They're younger than me. I want to be younger like them. So I will spend a lot of money on vitamins. I have the most expensive urine in the state of New Jersey. Because your body can only absorb so much, and then out it goes. Right? Me trying to stay in the fountain of youth. What am I doing? I'm wasting my money. But I want what you have. You're younger than me. You have XYZ. I want that. It can be relational. You've got a lot of friends. I'm an introvert. I don't have any. I want my kid to go to that school. We have been taught to want certain things, many of which might be good. But unless we ask the question, why do I want them? My heart is going to be controlled. Because where my heart is, what I want will determine where my treasure is. Money is nothing more than time compressed. Right? Think about it. A 10-yard mulch I've got to spread, I can spread it. That'll take me a couple days. Or I can pay someone else to do it. Then I have a couple days to do what? Oh, well, I guess I can search and spend my time on the social media issues. Well, why do I want to do that? Everything comes under the glare of a Jesus who says to us, where your heart is, there your treasure is. The Gospel of Luke is talks about so many times the rich young ruler, so many things he asks us to consider. Why do you want what you want? Why do you control what you have? Why do you need it? Each and every time Jesus offers an alternative, when you answer the question, love others as myself, what I want, how I want it gets resolved. Ultimately, it's resolved by who do I love and how often can I love them? Let us answer the cardio question today. What do you want? What do you want? And if the answer is informed by the Gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness, and Luke's Gospel today, we have nothing to fear. And if our doors are really open, we can spend a good long time thinking about it, knowing the hopeful answer. The hopeful answer is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The hopeful answer is a reality about love today. That's where my heart is. So I'll tell you where my heart is. My heart is wanting more of that. More of that time to love and to be with you as you do it and watch you do it and just praise God for it in the way in which you do it all the time. You are people who are open.